Hello and welcome to another episode of Solo BG Podcast. My name is Derek and this is episode number 69. So happy to be with you. I hope this is a very special episode. By the way, if this is your first time on the podcast, well, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to, even if you're listening to through Spotify or through iTunes or through TuneIn, Amazon Music, Google Play, wherever you're listening to. Please subscribe, and that's a big help for the podcast to keep going. Also, remember that we have a giveaway happening right now, still when this episode goes live, for a Tiny Epic Galaxies Blast Off. That's right, the new Tiny Epic game that just came out, which it's another kind of like another official way of playing one of my favorite, which is Tiny Epic Galaxies, but more streamlined, with more explosions and things like that. So check it out. We recorded the last episode about the Tiny Epic Round 2 universe with my friend Sam Ajo. That was episode number 68. So once you finish with this one, jump back on that one and give it a listen. And because we have the giveaway, and on that episode, I tell you pretty much how to win, which I will tell you right now, but you know, it's worth if you go and listen to. But pretty much what all you have to do, it's in any of the Facebook, you know, feed or Instagram or Twitter, wherever you, whatever is your favorite social media, you had to put just a normal post, a normal comment about Tiny Epic, any game of Tiny Epic. You just mentioned that you listened to that episode from Solo BG Podcast, so don't forget to tag us there. And also Game Lean Games. Once again, Game Lean Games, which they are the publisher of Tiny Epic, of all the Tiny Epics out there. So that's all you have to do, and then once I see the tag, we will select a random winner probably in a few days, and we will let you know, and we will send you the game completely for free, free shipping, everything. You won't have to worry about anything. You're just going to go home, and the game will be there already waiting for you at the door. So don't forget about that. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to my friend Michael Kelly from One Stop Co-op Shop. And you, if you don't know, you were wondering probably why. Well, First of all, if you haven't checked their YouTube channel, One Stop Co-op Shop, you should, because if you're like me, like mainly a solo player or cooperative player, then that's probably one of the best you know, YouTube channels out there for solo gamers. So definitely check it out, One Stop Co-op Shop. They also have a podcast, I believe it's like every week or every 2 weeks. So definitely check it out. And the reason why I'm giving a big shout out is because two main important things. First one, as you read in the title of this episode, we're going to talk about Back to the Future, Back in Time from Funko Games and Prospero Hall. And you know that if you haven't listened to the previous one, you know that I've been very excited about this game. I also, like, already spoiled you a little bit on the previous ones that I've been playing this game. Well, I finally brought it to the table more than at least 10 times. So, you know, I have a great, great review for all of you. And, yeah, we're going to talk about Back to the Future, which is one of my favorite franchises. But the reason why I'm giving the shout-out to Michael Kelly is because right now, at this moment, you can go, well, after you listen to the episode, of course, you can go to their YouTube channel and you will look for Back to the Future, Back in Time. And guess what? You're going to find a video hosted by your friend Derek. That's right, me. And it's a full video with a tutorial of the game and playthrough. But there's a catch. The video, it's completely in Spanish because after having a conversation with my friend Michael Kelly, you know, we decide together, and he was very kind and invite me, that I was going to record some playthroughs in Spanish, and that's great. That makes me very happy because, as you know, my primary is Spanish. Actually, I hold a podcast in Spanish called Solo BG Podcast en Español, and I was very excited because, you know, with all this chaotic year 2020 and all these different things that are happening around the world, I'm very, very, very glad as an Hispanic, you know, person to be able to be in every different culture, and especially on this beautiful hobby, you know, that besides the race that we are or our beliefs, this hobby is beautiful. And this hobby is about bringing joy, bringing hope, bringing adventures, bring people together. Why not? When we play cooperative or even competitive, because we get all those laughs and those beautiful moments that we will be remembering for many, many, many years. So because of that, I feel like for this hobby, all those things of this chaotic world should stay apart. And I'm very glad and very grateful with One Stop Cop Shop that they give me the opportunity to, you know, start a little bit of their channel, but in Spanish. So once again, after you finish the episode, you can go and check it out. You can see my face over there, in case you don't know my face. You're not missing too much. And I play, literally I have my gaming table and where I, the same place where I record. And I have the game and I'm playing the game and I'm teaching it once again in Spanish. But if you want to learn Spanish, well, there you go. Or if you just want to watch a playthrough in a foreign language, well, there you go. Or if you have friends or families that they know a little bit or too much of Spanish, well, once again, there you go. All righty. And we're going to start. Also, the other news with Michael Kelly, I was going to skip it. Also, the other big news is that we record an interview with Michael Kelly about a few weeks ago. And I have it ready. I haven't published it as an episode because I'm trying to get to that special episode number 70, which is going to be next one, where it's going to be a full interview with Michael Kelly. And oh boy, we had fun. We talk about many, many, many things, about being a content creator like him, you know, how he started in board games. We also talk about Kickstarter. We talk about this chaotic year. We talk about our lives. We had fun, and I'm pretty sure that you will enjoy that episode as well. That's coming next week because that will be episode number 70. With that being said, once again, this evening, we're going to talk about Back to the Future, Back in Time, a cooperative adventure game by Prospero Hall, which is this amazing group of designers, but it's published by the amazing Funko Games. And I will tell you more into detail on the game once we kick off, which we are doing it right now. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Solo BG, your podcast for solo and cooperative board games. Here you will find everything you need to know about your favorite and most recent games. Art, rules, gameplays, and interviews. Here is your host, Derek Rodriguez.
Alrighty, now we are ready to start episode number 69. We're getting close, first of all, to the 70, which is usually when I've been trying. I don't know if you have noticed, but like every 10 episodes, like 50, 40, 60, now 70, I'm trying to bring somebody special to the show, somebody that, you know, it's also, usually I would try to bring somebody that is usually also like on a content creator field, I guess, either a YouTuber, a podcaster, or a designer, or somebody special. So we are getting towards those numbers, which makes me very, very happy. Oh boy, 69 episodes already. It's hard, you know, it's hard to to even think about it because when I started this podcast on September of 2018, I never thought I was going to make it this far, you know, especially as my second language. But I'm very happy that I've been and very grateful with all of you amazing listeners because all of you have shown me one way or another your support, and I really appreciate it. And thanks for all this time and all this episode that you have bear down with me with my awful accent. And if this is your first time, well, I hope you enjoy and I hope you're here to stay. And once again, I'm sorry that you had to bear with me as well. But we're going to talk about board games. And talking about board games, what I have been playing recently. I've been playing Rivers of Midgard by Gray Fox Games. This game I was able to acquire, I remember, on Gen Con 2019, back on the normal world. I remember the first day, it was a Thursday at 9:45 a.m. I was on first line on Gen Con trying to run for some games, and this one actually was the first one that I picked up, Rivers of Midgard by Gray Fox Games. I brought it to the table, and I don't particularly own the Champions of Midgard. I have played with one of my good friends, the Champions of Midgard, which he's a huge fan. I've been playing with other friends that they also have Champions of Midgard, that they're fans as well. And, you know, it's interesting because this game, I mean, if you ask me, I do enjoy it. And I look forward to do an episode about these two games together. In that way, we can take pros and cons and different mechanics and stuff. But for some people that they're, you know, very, very attached to the Champions, these Rivers of Midgard wasn't like a very nice thing. You know, it was a cool thing, I guess, the same theme. but they didn't feel the excitement as they feel on Champions of Midgard because of their different mechanics. Of course, first of all, Champions is a worker placement. This one, at the same time, is a worker placement, but everybody's following the same action that one person at the table is doing. It's just the difference that, let's say, a player number one does an action, then player number two follow that same action if he can afford it, and he also, the first player will get a bonus, then the second player will usually get another bonus, then third player, they can only do the action with whatever leftovers are there, fourth player can do the same, or they can choose not to do anything and rest and get some other benefits. So that's the difference. For me, I really feel that, you know, I feel an enjoyment playing Rivers of Midgard, and I don't have anything against that mechanic. But for some other players, you know, that they love Champions, they are very attached to the, literally like the worker placement adventure, and then the fighting, it's a little bit different. This one still has that surprise of, you know, you had to reveal like a card, and it will tell you if it's all quiet, if you are fighting the Kraken or something, and then you're going to fight the enemy, right? But in Champions, it's a little bit different. So I don't know. I have mixed thoughts on which one is better. But one thing is for a fact that I don't have any problem spoiling you. I really enjoy both. But I'm really looking forward to get on my hands a copy of Champions of Midgard, even if I already played a few times, just to play it more times. In that way, I can have like the similar amount of plays from Rivers and Champions, and I can get, you know, a true review of that game. Anyway, I've been playing that. I also been playing one of my big surprises of this year that actually I struggled a little bit at the beginning, and I shared it with you. But now that I'm not struggling anymore, I'm playing a lot, and I don't want to tell you too much because this one for sure is going to come very soon as an episode of Solo BG Podcast, but I'm talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Change It's Constant by IDW Games. 1-4 players, 60 to 90 minutes, and it plays age 14 year plus. This game, I don't know if you're aware, and if you are, well, just follow me. This game was a successful Kickstarter from IDW and the designer Pete Walsh. This game, it can play one versus all in a competitive way, or you can play fully cooperative or fully solo as well. So I'm a huge fan of Ninja Turtles, like since I was growing up, the animated series, then the comics. Of course, they were more dark at the beginning, then they changed a little bit. And, you know, and now including the, I remember the arcade game. I used to have a lot of fun with the arcade game back on the good old days when we used to go to arcade machines and all the stuff. Oh, amazing, amazing memories. So I decided to jump. I didn't jump for the Kickstarter. I actually got this copy from a retailer. Or Tyler, I hope I pronounced it correctly, from a store, right? From a gaming store. And at the beginning, I had some struggle with their rulebook. But once again, once I got through that and I was able to find the answers, I've been playing that game a lot. Now, this Kickstarter came with The Change Is Constant and also with Cityfall, which is like two main core box games that they can be standalone and they can play different. The difference is that this game is based on the comics of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles published by IDW. So if you have followed those comics, or if not, let me tell you this, they came out like in 2013 or 14, and first they came with the first arc story, which was The Change Is Constant, which will bring us back to the origins of the Turtles, which is very different to the fantastic movies that we saw back in the days on the 92, kind of, 91, 92. This is a different origin story, very interesting, and a more darkish to a way like it's more appealing to young adults and adults. And so you have this story arc of A Change Is Constant. So in this first game, you will play through that arc. Then you have Cityfall, which is the next one. But the cool thing is that you can mix them together, and you can create or play different stories. Like, so their replayability is there. Also, IDW came with a big success Kickstarter on one of my favorite shows ever, which, of course, you know that my favorite theme is Batman, which is Batman the Animated Series with the same system of adventures as these ones, okay? So, the people from IDW, they will be very kind because, hey, a big shout out to my friends from IDW, and they're going to send me the core box of the Cityfall. In that way, I can play both core boxes. I can play most of the stories. I can play with different characters in a different modalities, either competitive, cooperative, and solo. In that way, I can bring a full review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So stay tuned for that. I've been playing that game a lot. I actually paint my minis, and I have some pictures that you can see on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at SoloBG Podcast. Let's keep moving. I also play Scooby-Doo Escape from the Haunted Mansion. This is a very interesting game, which is a chronicle, coded chronicle game, and is published by USAopoly or USOpoly or the OP. My friend from the OP, thank you very much. They didn't send me the game, by the way. I bought it. But they always are very kind, and, you know, they keep sending stuff, which, of course, is for you, my friends, for review, to get our thoughts. So a big shout-out to my friends from the OP, which is one of my favorite publishers, I have to say. Anyway, I've been playing... We played, my wife and I, this Chronicles game, but we haven't finished it. Oh, man, it's an adventure. Like, it's... I'm not a huge fan of escape rooms, just because, you know, you get the 1 hour time limit, and that sometimes with pressure, you know, on the players, including myself, and I'm very, very bad at those games. I mean, I want to like them, but I'm usually very bad. This one, we try it. It's very different. Basically, it's like you will play with all the main characters from Scooby-Doo, and I don't want to spoil you too much on the story, right? But I'm just going to talk to you about the mechanics. So basically, each character will have a number, right? Let's say Fred Standy has number 4, Shaggy has number 3, Daphne has number 5, and so on with the other characters, Wilma and Scooby. You get the idea, right? So all the Standys has one digit. And then you start in one area, which is the haunted house, of course. And you start, let's say, on the living room, right? So let's say you want to explore the door on the north side. Then you will put one standee of your choice, if you have them available on the beginning of the scenario, and you will play that standee, let's say Vilma. You will place Vilma on the left side on that north door. And the reason why you're going to put her on the left side is because that door will have 3-digit number, let's say 2, 3, 4, right? And then you're going to put Vilma there, and Vilma will have a number 4. So then you're going to go to Wilma's book, and you're going to look for the 4, 2, 3, 4, right? Which is the number that we got together with the standee and with the door. And then she will tell you something. She will tell you that you discover something. And then you will be revealing more tiles and more cards and fun things, treasures and stuff. And that's all I can tell you about the mechanic. It's very easy. And then you have also Scooby Snacks, which I love. Who doesn't love Scooby Snacks besides Scooby? And you're going to use those Scooby Snacks to get hints in case you get lost. So the components are great. The game is very cheap, very accessible, because I guess it's one playthrough and that's it. Even the rulebook tells you, like, even if you play again, you will get the same story, right? But it's very, very fun, and I highly recommend it. This is a highly recommended for me. This is a must-have, even if you love escape rooms. Even if you don't love escape room play games. You know, even if you don't love them, you will enjoy it. Like I said, I've been loving it. I've been having a blast, and I haven't finished. I mean, every time they are playing, I'm just like a kid, you know? Like, even if you're not a fan of Scooby-Doo, which, come on, who's not a fan of Scooby-Doo? I mean, we all enjoy Scooby-Doo at some point in our lives, except Scrappy. That was a mistake. Anyway, you will enjoy the game. It's great. And like I said, the price is very accessible. I don't know if this game is available in Europe, but at least here in U.S. and America, it's available. I definitely recommend you get this game on your shelves, because even for solo, I can see this game working perfectly for a solo player. The only thing is that you have a book for each character, which is not a big deal because the narration is very small. So you will have a blast, my friends. So I definitely, definitely, definitely recommend this game. Like I said, I had a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. And just to give you the premise of the game, so, you know, here comes Scooby, Shaggy, and all the gang in the mystery machine, right? So they're driving through a highway in the middle of the night with a storm and everything. And then they kind of, if I remember correctly, the check engine light comes up on the dashboard on the vehicle. And of course, I mean, that's the worst, you know, area to stay, you know, with a car like that. So they get stranded, you know, the car turns off, it doesn't turn on, you know, the big thing. Then they see above a hill a big, big, big house, right? So there they go. There goes all the gang trying to, you know, look for help at the house, for a phone, a telephone, or something. In that way, they can call somebody to come and fix the machine or the truck. So As they're walking towards the house, right, to the haunted mansion, of course, Shaggy and Scooby, they're always scary, you know, like always, like we used to remember them on the cartoons and the movies, and oh, that's fantastic. I'm just bringing memories and I love it. Anyway, the whole gang is walking through the door. They knock the door, and then somebody answers and basically offers them help. And that's it. Then it's your turn to play the game and get immersed in Scooby-Doo. This fantastic game, once again, Escape from the Haunted Mansion, a coded chronicle game by the OP. So that's another one that you should check it out. I also been playing Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion. I don't have to say anything about Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion, other than we're going to do a fantastic episode about it. I paint the minis that I'm playing with. By the way, check it out on social media, because I think I'm proud. You know, I'm proud of those two minis. I only paint two because those are the only two cards that I'm playing. I'm very proud of those two minis. I know I will tell you, like, hey, check out these minis that I painted. Well, they probably look like crap. No, these ones I'm proud because I actually got metallic paints and stuff and, you know, did the effects with shades and watch a few tutorial YouTube videos and stuff. So I'm very proud. So please go and check them out and give me your thoughts and tell me, you know, if they suck as well or if those are like, yeah, okay. Or if you like them and, you know, I'm trying to get better on painting my minis. So there you go. You go and check them out. And also I've been playing Salvation Road by my friend Michael Kelly, which we'll have on the other episode where we talk about Salvation Road. So I won't spoil you too much with that game. Anyway, let's jump into today's episode once again. Tonight, this evening, this morning, this whatever you listen to, this is Back to the Future, Back in Time, a cooperative adventure game by Prospero Hall. It plays 2 to 4 players, fully solo game, and I will tell you my thoughts towards the end. A fantastic theme. The theme is, I won't tell you right now, the theme is Darren. This is fantastic, which it's one of my favorite themes. Back to the Future. Why not? Doc Brown, Marty McFly, everybody's there. Oh, my man. I'm going to enjoy this episode so, so much. I hope you enjoy it as well. And let's go into our first section, which is Box and Cover.
Box and Cover.
Okay, so now we are in the Box and Cover section of the show. The first thing we have, the box. The box is actually, I would think that is, I don't have my measurement tape here, but I would say that this is like 10 by 10. It's smaller than the normal 12 by 12 standard games. So that's good, you know, because not too much space on the shelves. I mean, it's a decent, you know, it's very, not a small, but a medium size of box. Now, the thing is that probably you want to display this on your gaming room or on your shelves, because on the main cover, oh man, we have the main street where, you know, I don't remember the name of the street, but the main street where the DeLorean in the part 1 and 2, it goes back to the future. And then you have the DeLorean leaving fire behind him, and it's fantastic. The art, very cartoonish, nothing like the movies, but it's fantastic. And then it says on very bold yellow, like the logo from the movie, Back to the Future, Back in Time, a cooperative adventure game by Prospero Hall. The art, my friend, the art. We're going to talk about the art towards the end of the episode when I share my thoughts. But this game is to display for sure. And then on the sides, you have Back to the Future, Back in Time, age 10 year plus, 2 to 4 players, and that is published by Funko Games and is designed by this amazing group, Prospero Hall. Then on the back, it tells you what it includes, and then it says you, wait a minute, Doc, are you telling me you build a time machine out of a DeLorean? That's right. The photo of the McFly family is slowly fading, of course, like the movie. It's 1955, and you wrap up in the time paradox with Biff, Lorraine, George, that means your parents, so you're playing with Marty McFly, and your cool friend Doc Brown. Cooperate to move around Hill Valley to get DeLorean ready. Avoid Biff, which, oh man, if you hate him in the movies, oh man, here. Okay, avoid Biff and his gang. Help George and Lorraine to fall in love and crank the DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour, all just in time for the lightning to strike the clock tower, sending you back to the future. And then you have a display of all the game components that you're going to get, all the contents. It tells you that if you don't want to read the rule book, you can watch the gameplay overview if you go to the Funko website and Back to the Future How to Play. Once again, is the credits over there from the group of Prospero Hall. Of course, Universal Studios as well, which, of course, they are the owners of Back to the Future. And pretty cool picture of what you're going to get on the game, the display, and what includes. So with that being said, let's open this box. Let's have the audio unboxing and let's see what do we find inside the box.
Inside the box.
Alrighty, so now we open the box here in front of me, and the first thing, actually, let me, because I couldn't open it all the way. Like, this is very realistic, you know? I mean, I never edit or anything like this. It's trying to open the box in front of you, and that way we can have that audio unboxing. The first thing you're going to get is disconnect capacitor drive before opening. Shield eyes from light. The flux capacitor, the one from the DeLorean, is there, and it's behind the board. Then you're going to open the board, and you're going to have Hill Valley there. And then the thing that you're going to find, this is one of my favorite things, because this tells me that the people from Prospero Hall and the people from Funko Games, whoever came with the idea, they put a lot of love, and you know, they were careful with this big franchise and theme. So they put a lot of love on this game, and they made their rule book from Tales from Space. If you remember, which is one of my favorite movies, on Back to the Future, the original one, which is based on the game is based on that movie, I'm sorry, when Marty goes away trying to escape after they kill Doc Brown. Sorry for the spoilers, man, but the movie has been out there like how many years? 30 already? Okay. He goes back to 1955 and he crashes the DeLorean into a barn from a farm, of course, that is there where the mall was in 1985. You know, in 1955, there was a farm owned by Peabody and he used to plant pines, actually. So anyway, when Marty crashed the farm, then the family comes out of the barn. The family comes out of the farmhouse, and they come out, you know, with the shotgun and with all the flashlight. Well, from those days, flashlight, you know, trying to see what's going on. Why was that explosion? They go into the barn, and they see the DeLorean, and Marty McFly comes out with a yellow radiation suit, of course, because the DeLorean was powered with radiation. And then they don't know what it is. And the kid says, "Look, Dad, I know," to this farmer, right? And he shows him a comic that is called Tales from Space. And it has a UFO flying saucers there. Like, it looked like, I guess, like the DeLorean. And a guy, like an alien in a yellow suit as well. So similar to the Marty McFly, and then, of course, they get scared, and they try to shoot at him. He goes away with the DeLorean. You know, if not, well, watch the movie, because you definitely have to. There's nothing wrong with the movie, and whoever says different, you're wrong, I'm sorry. But anyway, the rule book is this comic, which is fantastic. I love it. As soon as I opened the game the first time, I was like, I'm already having a blast with this. So, Space Zombies from Pluto, the complete on this issue, shocking science fiction rule book. This is what you get, and the art on their rule book, oh man, they put a lot of love. It's a 16 double-sided page with very straightforward instructions of how to play the game, the goal of the game, the end of the game, characters, abilities, and stuff. And it has a fantastic FAQ on the back that you can use to play the game. So the rule book, that was, you know, very, very cool. And then what else we get? Let's see. Let's start open. You get the nice board, of course, like I told you, that it represents Hill Valley. And all the things that you're going to find there. You also get, listen to this, a clock dice tower. That's right. It's going to come in a separate. Of course, you have to assemble. But it's very easy. I unassemble and assemble every time that I play the game. In that way, everything can fit on the box like if it was new. It's very easy to find. But that's a good thing also. You see, I'm talking about the love from the components. And the people who designed this game, they made a clock tower. I'm sorry, a dice tower out of a clock tower. And it's super, super cool to roll the dice there and get that thematic experience as well. You have the four characters, Matt, which you're going to play with Marty McFly as a Dr. Brown, Jennifer Parker, or Einstein. Who doesn't love Einstein? We all love Einstein. You're going to get 8 dice in 4 different colors for the different actions that you can do. You're going to get a DeLorean, a mini DeLorean that is fantastic. Even if you go into the little details, on the license plate on the back, it says Out of Time. So, man, I'm telling you. Then you're going to have the 4-player movers or miniatures, Marty, Doc, Jennifer, Einstein. The 3 non-player movers, which is your parents, George and Lorraine, of course. And Man, that's the only thing about this game. Biff. You're going to get Biff. You're also going to get movement cards, opportunity cards, stronghold cards, item cards, the DeLorean part tiles. You're going to get a turn tracker. Depends on the number of players that you're playing. If you're playing solo or two-player, you're going to put them on one side. If you're playing three or four players, the other side. And it will help you to track the rounds and tell the events and everything that is happening during the game. You're also going to get the McFly photo section that I'm going to tell you in the next section, actually. And the Love Matter and Love Matter Cube track board that you're going to use for something that we're going to talk in a little bit once we jump into our next section, which is how to play the game of Back to the Future, Back in Time. You know what? Let's go right now. Let's go back to the future. Let's go to the present. Let's go to the past. Let's go everywhere. And let's go and talk about how this fantastic game plays.
Gameplay.
Alrighty, and now after we listen to this, oh man, I hope I don't get in, you know, problem, but it's the music of Back to the Future is just, it's great, it's great. Anyway, let's talk about how we play this game. I'm going to tell you the basic idea of this game, and now we're going to talk as an example, as we're playing two players, or if you're playing solo, of course, all right? And the difference is that the only thing is that the round numbers will change. But you know, you will have more players and you will be able to help each other a little bit. So basically, the idea of the game is just like in the movie. You have to bring the DeLorean, to drive the DeLorean around Hill Valley, move the DeLorean, either you, Doc Brown, whoever is playing, move the DeLorean around Hill Valley, get the parts to fix the DeLorean, right? And then once you have the parts, make sure that the DeLorean will be at the clock tower. In that way, it can get hit by the lightning. But of course, just like in the movie, before you go back in time, you need to make sure that your parents, George and Lorraine, once again, if you're playing as a Marty McFly, which I think is the most thematic thing to do with this game, it's you want to make sure they fall in love. Because as you remember on the movie, your mom calls you Calvin Klein, or Calvin Klein, and now she's in love with you instead of your dad. So you have to fix all this mess that Marty creates in the movie. In that way, you can save the day, make sure that Biff is not in the way, and you go back to the future, back in time, and everything is normal or even better, just like in the movie. So how are you going to set up the game? You're going to lay out the board. Then you're going to lay out the mat, the little photo mat, and you're going to lay out those double-sided pieces that they will form Marty McFly and his siblings' picture. They are double-sided because every time that one of those sections vanish, you can flip it, actually, and now it will show that part where they're vanishing, just like in the movie, which is great. And then you're going to put the cube on the starting zero place for the lob matter. Then you're also going to choose your characters. You're going to start at the clock tower. You know, and then Georgie will start at your house, Lorraine will start at Lorraine's house, and then you're going to start the game. Biff, it's going to be also moving around the board. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to reveal a movement card, and it's going to tell you where George and Lorraine are going now for this turn, and where Biff is going. Now, Biff is going to have different Biff faces that he's going to be using to activate, and he's annoying as... Oh, man, if I hate him on the movies, you're going to hate him more in the game. Every time that you had a beef face, or if the card tells you otherwise, you're going to move Beef towards your Lorraine or George, whoever is closer. And if they're together at the same distance but different ways, then you're going to go always to Lorraine, just like in the movie, right? And every time that Beef is with one of them, both of them, every time that he gets activated by a movement card or by a bad roll that you did, then Biff is going to start to decrease that cube that you worked so hard to improve on the long matter, because of course he's trying to separate them and he's trying to be a jerk. Anyway, that's basically how Biff is going to activate and what he's going to do, which I already told you. But besides that, you're also going to have on the board, you're going to have problems that they correlate to the phases of the movie, actually, level 1, level 2, level 3. And they also, you know, they call trouble, I'm sorry. and they're very hard as you keep going on the game. So the sooner you can start to deal with them, the better, because they're also going to give you bonuses. And the bonuses, it's basically powerful tiles that you're going to use for your actions on your mat. Because on your mat, you're going to start with five areas where you're going to have different tiles that you can flip to either move your character or make certain roles to attempt to, you know, either make sure that Lorraine and George fall in love, or to fix some parts of the DeLorean, or to move the DeLorean, or to fix some opportunities that there are there, or to challenge the Troubles cards that they're going to be out there during the game as well. So besides those five spots, every time that you successfully resolve an opportunity or fix a trouble, you're going to get more tiles that they will be helping you as a reward, and those tiles will be more powerful. For example, if one tile will tell you, with your basic one tile, it will tell you to roll one yellow dice, then for the upgrade, you probably could get one that it will tell you roll two yellow dice instead of one, or roll one yellow die and a blue die, that which they have different, you know, purposes. But you get the idea. You're getting this. It's kind of like a deck building, but a tile building of abilities, kind of, so it's pretty cool. And on total of your mat, you can only hold up to 8. But if you get more that you want to, you know, put in place of another one, you can usually discard them, and that's it. So how the game is going to play? Well, after you resolve the movement card and stuff, you're going to have, once again, on the board as part of the setup, some opportunity cards, which they represent a scene of the movie, and also trouble cards that they also represent some scene of the movie. You will have different options to do on your turn. You're going to try to move your character either by flipping one of these tiles that we already talked about, and if you are able to bring George and Lorraine in the same space with you, you can attempt to roll the pink die, which is the hard die, and if you're successful, you're going to increase the love meter equivalent to the number of successes, because all the dice also have like wild symbols, so you can use the other dice as well to help you out. Or if another player is on your same space, they can use their tiles to help you out and also participate and try to increase the love faster. The only downside of that is that, let's say Doc Brown is helping me, he started to flip some tiles of his character, then when it comes to his turn, he won't be able to use those actions for his turn. Until the end of his turn, they're going to flip face up again, right? So that's kind of how the characters interact a little bit. That's one option. The other option is you can go to the DeLorean and try to make a roll to move the DeLorean spaces forward to the Doctor's Brown house. But you want to make sure that when the DeLorean gets to Doc Brown house, you have the items fixed, and that way the DeLorean keep going. The other option is to go and fix those DeLorean parts to different locations and attempt rolls to fix them. And this is the same idea if you're trying to attempt a trouble or if you're trying to attempt an opportunity to get rewards and benefits. The other thing that you can do is you have some blue dice that you can use to fight Biff. Because every time that you go into the same location as Biff, you can try to attempt to fight him. If you knock him out, then you're going to put the miniature on laying on the side. And if you have more successes, then you're going to be adding tokens of knockout Biff tokens. In that way, it represents, you know, that Biff is super knocked out and that you are basically stopping him or blocking him to activate on different roles and different and future turns. Because why? Every time that you do a roll, you can expect different results. Either one success, two success, a wild, or a Biff face on your roll. If you get a Biff face, you cannot re-roll this die. Why? Because every time that you roll is like a Yahtzee mechanic that you keep rolling and rolling and rolling until you get the result that you want, or until you get a Biff face that usually, once again, they cannot be re-rolled unless you have an ability that allows you to do it. But every Biff face will activate Biff once. So let's say we have a Biff face at the end of the result that will either move Biff towards Lorraine or George or together, or if he's already there, he will decrease the love meter by one. But if you have him knock him out, let's say, with two tokens, and you ended up rolling two B-faces, you're going to remove the two tokens, and Biff still is going to stay laid down on the side. If another B-face comes up, then Biff is going to stand up. And then if another one, then he's going to activate, and you get the idea. B-faces or Biff symbols, you're going to get them from dice and from the movement cards that every single turn, no matter what, you're going to reveal, and it's going to change the direction of where the characters, the non-playing characters, are going, including Biff. That's why I was telling you, he's so annoying. Then on the turn tracker, it will also be telling you to-do stuff are on the game. So let's say at the beginning of one round, it will tell you to flip over or face down one of the sections of the picture. Remember, if you don't have them in love, that picture is going to start to vanish. If you have them in love, you don't have to flip it face down. And if your love meter is below the star level, that means minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, minus 4, then you double the picture twice. And guess what? As you're getting towards the end of the game on the turn tracker, then it's going to tell you to do each effect twice. So if you are like 3 turns from the ending of the game and you only have 4 more sections of the picture, right? And you're in the negative side of the love, then you're going to flip 2 for being on the negative side plus another 2 for the turn tracker, and that's it. You never existed, just like in the movie. So you have to be very careful on balance that part of, okay, I want to get the DeLorean ready. I want to get the DeLorean fixed, but also I want George and Lorraine to be in love. In that way, we win the game. Then the game is good. The turn tracker is going to keep advancing you, telling you to do different stuff until it reach the last section, which is November 12, 1955 at 10:04 p.m. And that's the exact moment when with the thunderstorm, where the lightning hits the clock tower, and then it comes all down to the wire that Doc Brown puts there. And you want to make sure that DeLorean hits that wire at the exact time with the hook, and you go back to the future. But, you know, a lot of things can happen that is going to block you from going there. So ideally, that's how the game plays, you know, just very thematic, just like in the movie. And the game will end either the lightning strike and you either lose or you win the game, Or the sixth and final section of the McFly photo is turned face down. So that's basically it. You have to win. You have to have them in love and be sure that the DeLorean is in the area or in the section where it needs to be done. Where it needs to be, I'm sorry, for when the time comes for the lining. Just like in the movie, that's how you play the game. It has a different, you know, different things that I'm probably missing, like abilities on different characters and stuff. But now I will let you be on your own and discover that because, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now my thoughts on the game. But yeah, I always play with, by the way, with Marty and Doc Brown when I play solo. Actually, you can go and check the video that I told you before from One Stop Co-op Shop. And now that I told you how the game plays, let's jump into my favorite section, which is if I rather play this game solo or cooperative, or if I rather play this game at all or not. Let's see. Let's go into our next section. Let's see what I think about the game.
Solo or cooperative?
Okay, so now we are in the next section. Well, in the actual section, back in time, right? Talking about time. If I rather play this game solo or cooperative, or if I like this game at all. Man, I'm telling you. Back to the Future. Oh, boy. Back in Time, by the way. by Prospero Hall, by Funko Games. This game, when it was announced, it was definitely my biggest anticipation for this year regarding board games, right? Because first of all, besides the Kickstarter of Batman, is the theme. It's my theme is there. This game, it's for me, you know. And with the bad experience that I got also from the one from IDW, I was kind of in the fence for this one, but I'm glad that I got a copy very early. I pre-ordered it because I believe it's still out of stock somewhere. So let's talk about it. What do we find in Board Game Geek? And man, this is the thing with Board Game Geek, you know, that's the website that we all go, but sometimes I disagree with the ratings, and I don't know, Board Game Geek can go either way, I believe. So, it has a rank overall of 3,000, the rank overall, I'm sorry, on the game as the place is on 3,926. It has 208 ratings, and it gives them a 7.7. It tells you that it plays 2-4 players, age 10 euro plus, 50 minutes playing time, and the weight complexity is 2.2 out of 5. Okay, let's start with the pros. The pros, the theme. The theme is definitely there. It's like you're watching the movie over and over. The theme, I'm telling you everything. Even Biff is more annoying. That's probably the only thing. But the theme is there. You feel like you're Marty. You feel like you're Doc Brown because the abilities from the characters kind of push you to work like that with your character. You feel like you're Einstein. I mean, because even you can bark and scare Biff away from you. I mean, that's thematic. Why not? Jennifer, lovely Jennifer, she can increase the love. Remember that you know, like in the movie, I mean, she can, you know, help out to, you know, increase the love. In this case, with Marty's parents. So she can help you. So they all are good at certain things. Marty McFly, just like in the movie, he doesn't allow nobody to call him chicken, and he can fight beef. He's not scared of him like George. So the theme is definitely there. Even from the moment that you open the game, even from the moment that you don't open the game, from the box, the theme is there. You open the game, you get this rule book from the comic, from the movie. I mean, that was a very small detail in the movie. So that tells me that the people that did the game, they put a lot of attention to details and to love for the game. And they actually did a great job on that. Since I opened the game and I saw the back of the board and I saw the flux capacitor, I was blew my mind off already. Then I saw the rule book. I was like, man, me as a geek, as a fan of little details on the things that I like Back to the Future, it was like, this is just fantastic. This is great. Then I keep going, and then I see the clock tower that you can make a dice tower from it. I was like, oh, man. And then I see the DeLorean Mini, and I was like, man, I used the DeLorean Mini for Rallyman GT. Just to give you an idea how cool it looks. I mean, the Minis are, you know, well, we will talk about the Minis. But, I mean, the theme is there. Hill Valley, the city on the board. I'm so glad that they didn't use the movie, pictures of illustrations. This is way better, more comic, cartoonish. It's fantastic. So the theme, it's a big, big, big pro for me. If you like Back to the Future, which I'm pretty sure you do, because if you don't, you're wrong. this game, the theme, we're not talking about immersiveness here. We're talking about a theme. This is probably from this year, the games that I have played so far, this is definitely the top five or more of more thematic games, because when we talk about a theme, is that the game is going to make you feel the theme, right? Like the theme is there. This is here. Like no questions about it. So they did a fantastic job. Even I believe that Robert Zemeckis and I think Bob Gale, they sent letters to Prospero Hall and to Funko, you know, thanking them for the love that they put on the product. So even if the people that made the movie, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago, I mean, they are recognizing this. So, you know, it's there. It's definitely there. So that's a big pro. The other big pro is the mechanics of the game. That sort of deck building-ish of your bonus tiles and stuff to use better dice, I love it. It works so good. Especially if you're playing solo, you can, you know, have your other character help you out and try to use their tiles as well, use their dice. The rolling dice aspect, which is not new, like it's like basically like Yahtzee, I like it. I mean, the games that I can feel that they've been using the same mechanic recently are Enderless. Like the Reckoners are using that mechanic. From the OP, all the Thanos Rising, the Star Wars Dark Side Rising, and the new Bob's Punch Rising as well, and then the Harry Potter one, they use the same mechanic where you're rolling the dice, but you can roll certain symbols or either a certain amount of time that's it. So that's nothing new, but still for me it's very enjoyable. I don't have anything against that mechanic of some people calling it a merit trash. I don't have anything about it against, or like the dice chuckle. I don't have anything against, especially for these kind of games. So the mechanics of the tiles, of, you know, moving around and trying to make them fall in love and stuff, I really like those mechanics. That's one big pro on the mechanics on the player side. The mechanics on the game side, the turn tracker, that's a big pro because it also helps the theme to come up with the opportunity cards, with the trouble cards, with the movement cards. It's basically the game is leading you through the movie. Even if you don't want to keep advancing, the game will keep advancing for you. So in that will add more tension to the players. That will change the situations on the game, the strategy on the game from round to round. And it will keep bringing cards that will be telling you the story as the movie advances. The opportunity cards, well, they can be shuffled and things can come out of time a little bit. That's fine. But you will have scenes from the movie like, oh, Louis Cafe, I remember, whatever. I remember that scene when Marty comes to George and he finds out that he's his dad and whatever. Or the scene where George comes to ask Lorraine to the dance, you know, with Marty advices. And then he orders a chocolate milkshake from Louis. and from Goldie, that he then gonna become the Goldie Wilson mayor, and he tells Marty tells him, like, you will be mayor, and he's like, yeah, you know what, that sounds good. You know, I'm telling you the whole movie right now because just to give you an idea that this turn tracker helps and the cards helps to bring that theme to the movie, from the movie to the game, so you will have it there as well. So the turn tracker mechanic and all the cards that are involved that play on the game, that's a big pro. Let's see what other pro. We already talked about the dice tower from the clock tower. That was very clever. That they didn't need to do that, you know. I mean, that wasn't necessary. That wasn't at all. But they did it anyway. And even if you don't use it as a dice tower, it just adds that 3D-ish to the game that it looks fantastic. And I'm always a huge fan of those things, of having a scenery for the games and stuff, terrain. Well, you have the clock tower, which is great. So, I mean, the scale that they compare the clock tower to the minis and everything, it works great. And the visualizing speaking, that's another pro. The game works very well. Visual, that's a word. Like on the visual side, you know, it looks very fun on the board. I'm pretty sure, I mean, this year was chaotic. But if you would see these games on a gaming store and you're passing by, you probably want to stop and see, like, okay, what is all this about? I really, you know, it will catch your attention. So that's another big plus on the side. Now let's go into the, they're not cons, but into the little details for the game, all right? So here it goes. I'm sorry, before I jump there, I want to mention two more, that this is personal pro, once again, because everybody, we all are different type of players, and you have heard me before that I like games that have, they're challenging and they're hard. This game, it's challenge and it's hard. And I will tell you another point that before we jump into the con side, this kind of falls in the middle for me. The replayability of the game, all right? You will play the game over and over and over, and things can go a little bit different between game and, you know, cards. But there's going to be a time where you're going to know basically, or you have been seeing all these cards. But at the same time, this game is so hard to win, that the replayability will stay there because of the challenge that you want to win. Does that make sense? So that's the replayability that will come in play. And once again, this is the middle. The other thing is between pro and con, is that if you are like me, that I can watch Back to the Future movie, a few times per year, and I enjoy it, honestly. I do enjoy it. Or like the Batman movies that I can watch them over and over, and I enjoy them. Or like a few of my favorite, like Interstellar or 2001 Space Odyssey or, you know, The Joker or, different movies that I really love that I can watch over and over. If you enjoy those sort of things, then the replayability won't be a problem for you. And especially with this team, that's a smart thing to do. That they do a Back to the Future game from the original movie. They do it exactly like the movie, or be as close as they can with the movie. So in that way, they know it was a good movie. They know people have watched the movie many, many, many times. So they make it hard. And not only that, they say, like, even if you win, you probably want to play it again because you like the theme. Just like you enjoy the movie, you can play it again. So it's kind of replayability. I just wanted to put it there, out there in the middle. Like, no a pro, no a con. For me, it's not a con. But for some people, it can be a con. If you're like, oh, well, I already win, I already defeated, I don't care, I don't want to play again Back to the Future. But if you're like me, you will probably play, even if you defeat Beef and you're able to do all those things to save the day and save the game and go back in time, and, you know, everything. And if you're like me, that you still want to try it again just to see and, you know, play different characters or just to experience the game again, then you won't have any problem. Now that we talk about that and we're in the medium level, boop, let's jump to the other side with the cons. The cons for me, one thing, everything was great. Just the minis. The minis, I wasn't a huge fan of the minis. I know that you can paint them and they will look way better. I wasn't expecting, because I will tell you why I wasn't expecting. But I wish the quality of the minis could be a little bit, like almost like nothing. Just a little bit better. You know, I wish. They're not bad, but they're very simple. I mean, even I feel like those ones for me will be hard to paint. So they're in different colors of the characters, in that way you can distinguish it. That's a good thing, in that way you can know who is who. But I just wish the quality of those minis for the characters would be a little bit better. Even if, I don't know how would it feel if they would have used standees. But I mean, I think I appreciate the effort of them using minis, because the price of this game is like, I think it's like $29.99 American dollars or $35 American dollars, somewhere around there. And you get a very good quality product for that price. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is just me being super picky. But for the price, the miniatures are good. But I wish they could be a little bit better, because I would love to paint them. And, you know, it's Back to the Future for me. So that's a kind of like a con niche, Derek, kind of. So don't take it like that seriously. The other thing that is not a con, but it sometimes it can feel like it's a con, it's Biff. They made it so hard. Like, he activates all the game. And I get it. Like, in the movie, he's so annoying. But here, you will hate him. If you win or fail, doesn't matter. I guarantee. That's a guarantee. That's, they should put in a sticker on the front of the box, like, guarantee to hate Bill. Bill. Biff. To hate Biff. Sorry. Is there any Bill out there? I don't hate you, man. It's just Biff. You know, you really hate Biff Tannen. Hate him to guts. He's gonna come every single turn, every single action that you do. He's there, annoying you, trying to get, you know, along with Lorraine and George, go away. So I will definitely recommend you. And it just because of this, it's almost that the game push you to play with Marty McFly, in that way you can kind of knock him out. Which is good, because that's add more to the theme. Of course, I don't see this game playing without Marty. Marty has to be on the game. Like, no matter what. You're playing one player, Mario has to be there. You're playing four players, of course Marty will be there. You're playing three players, you don't leave Marty out. You leave probably Jennifer out, or Einstein. Well, not Einstein, or yeah. But you definitely, even the dog. But you need to bring Marty McFly to the game if you want to have any chance to win. So that's very thematic as well. So those are my two things, like, you know, I guess if you want to call them cons, just details, right, on the game. I have to find something. So yeah, that's that. My rating for the game, going from 0 to 5, where 0, you want to burn it. You don't want to even waste energy of burning it. You hate it. Oh, man, you wish it never existed. Or a 5, which is like, oh, man, I can ring it every game night and I can play it. This game, for me, definitely, and I don't think I have given it a 5 out of 5 to a game. I don't even think that's hindsight. I think probably give it a 4.5, I think. For me, this game, once again, because all that we talk about, the components, the love that they use, the mechanics that I enjoy, the theme that I enjoy, the feelings that brought me, everything involved with the game, this game is definitely a 4.5 for me, a solid 4.5. If somebody brings us to the game night, I will always play it. If you invite me over to play Back to the Future, I will always play it. I see myself playing this game a few times a year, honestly, just like those times that you're looking at your shelves and you're like, well, what to play? Oh, well, let me get some Back to the Future and trying to defeat Biff. Hopefully this time I will be able. This is definitely a game like that. Once again, now being more seriously, I know that, I mean, of course, I don't think like the whole world loves Back to the Future. So if you don't care about the theme, you know, probably that would bring the rating down. Like, if I wasn't a fan of Back to the Future, this game would put it be a, I don't know, 3.8 or 4, which is still a very good category. But just the fact that it's been, at least for me, on the top 5 most thematic games of the year, that definitely, and the theme, that definitely puts the game for me at 4.5. I think Funko did a great job. This is definitely my favorite game from Funko and Prospero Hall, from this line of games that they have been releasing lately. This game, Back to the Future and Back in Time, no questions asked, is my favorite. 4.5 out of 5. It's a great game. It's a must-have. I definitely recommend it. Even if you're not a Back to the Future fan, please get it. Please enjoy it. And then you can pass it on. You can give it to somebody that is a fan. You can play it with family members or friends that they're fans. If you play solo and you're not a fan, get this game, play it, and then I'm pretty sure you can sell it without question, because it's just such an appealing theme to the world. It's such in our pop culture, the seeing Marty McFly playing the guitar, the DeLorean. I mean, everybody's, I mean, I don't want to compare it, but just like everybody knows who Darth Vader is, this is kind of the same thing. Like, everybody knows the DeLorean. They have seen DeLorean in many, many, many movies and references and commercials and stuff. I mean, so it's there. It's great. I think I see this game, like, for example, from young adults like us, you know, and if you have kids and you're playing with your kids and they don't know, or probably they haven't seen Back to the Future, well, this will be like a very exciting thing to share with them, and then you can watch the movie or something. You know, it's just 4.5 out of 5 for me. I definitely recommend it. A must have by Solo BG Podcast, by me, Derek. And yeah, and that was Back to the Future, Back in Time, from Funko Game and Prospero Hall. So remember, next episode, it's the interview with Michael Kelly from One Stop Cop Shop. Don't miss out. It's going to be released next weekend. Once again, it was recorded a few weeks ago. Also, the giveaway that is running on right now, check it out on the previous episode, the giveaway for Tiny Epic Galaxies Blast Off. Very easy to win. I already told you at the beginning of this one. I already told you that you can go and listen, and I will tell you there how you can win. And remember that you can follow me on my social media at SoloBG Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm always very active. Please leave any comment for this episode wherever you listen to, if you're able. Please subscribe. That really helps the show. A lot of good stuff are coming. You know, big surprises for all of you. Giveaways, stuff. So everything is it's great. I want to give a big shout out as well to my friends from CGE, or Sech Games Edition, because they sent me a copy from Adrenaline and Sanctum, designed by Philip Nidok. And I'm looking forward to play those games as well with the solo mode, and tell you what I think about those games. Also to my friend Saul from Mexico, which he sent me a copy of Tierra y Libertad, which is a worker placement game about the revolution times from Mexico, that I'm looking forward also to play again. And also big shout out to my friends from IDW, which there have some games on the way. And also to my friends from Corvus Belli. They are the publishers from Aristeia, the board game, and from Infinity, which because they're sending me a few copies of Infinity for me to try it out. That's, you know, that's going to be new, a skirmish kind of war game-ish. Well, we will play it, and I will share my thoughts as well. So anyway, thank you to all of you amazing listeners as well that have shown me your support on these, all these episodes, and for those of you that are still doing through Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or if you reach out to me to my personal email, which is solobgpodcast@gmail.com, thank you very much. I really, 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 really appreciate it. Anyway, this was episode number 69. I hope you had a blast. I hope this game helped you. I hope this episode helped you to decide if you wanted to get Back to the Future, Back in Time, or not, which you should. And once again, like always, remember,
for victory, go tell your friends.
Till next time, see you through the speaker and at the tabletop.